In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, Amen. This is particularly an interesting day in the life of the church, and certainly in mine. It's a day when we are, as a church, are remembering and honoring Bishop Barbara C. Harris, our Suffragan bishop and a bishop for 30-some-odd years. Barbara and I have been friends for about 42 years. We became friends when both of us were on the board, the program committee of Canuga, a conference center down in Henderson, North Carolina. And it's interesting, later she grew to call Canuga the last great white plantation in the South. That didn't go over well with some people down there, but people there knew exactly what she meant. But thinking about Barbara and the lessons and everything today, I thought I would go through and just highlight some of the things about Barbara that I think speak to why the church, only 1 year after her death, would seek to remember her across all the dioceses in a way as we're proposing today. One of the first things about Barbara that is important, she was the middle child, she was also left-handed, and she also was one that spoke her mind quite freely. That was always true. But she grew up in a household and a family that loved music. Music was very important, and learned to play the piano at a very early age. One of the few things that's left from her house, which has been sold and all the property gone, is her piano. We have it in storage somewhere else because we just couldn't see it going just anywhere. And she played that piano up until about a year before she died. One of the things that then struck me is I was with Barbara for the last basically 2 weeks of her life. And the last 48 hours I was with her in the hospice around the clock. And one of the things about the hospice in Lincoln, which was amazing, was that it had a music ministry. And so the day before she died, this wonderful young African-American who had just graduated from Berkeley came in with a keyboard and sat down next to her bed and started playing gospel music. And he asked me ahead of time, how do I know if I'm doing it right? And I said, don't worry, if you're not, she'll open her eyes and let you know for sure. Well, clearly, he did it right. And Barbara started nodding her head up and down and to the gospel music. He actually came back the day that she died and was there playing more music. That day, she didn't open her eyes, but you could tell she was enjoying it. And so I think it's nice that music marks sort of a beginning for Barbara and an ending for Barbara very clearly. One of the quotes that she was often quoted of giving, and is very true, is that we are a gospel community. We are a community that's there to serve the least, the lost, and the left out. One of the stories that I love that she told me, and I think is in maybe in her book, and if you haven't gotten it, her book, Hallelujah Anyhow, is just amazing, full of stories, full of all kinds of history, really, about the church. It's well worth the read, and it's short and has one or two pictures, so it's something that I got. This actually is the book, her copy, and when I went to open it, I found the remarks that she had written out on yellow paper from the book launch when it happened in Boston, and then again in New York. But Barbara did not go to seminary. She read for her orders, and when she was about to be ordained, the bishop said, "You have not taken any sermon, homiletic courses, and I think maybe you should think about that." And Barbara's response to him was, "I'm not about to do that because I don't want the Episcopal Church to take away a gift that God's given me." She did not have a high opinion of how seminaries taught homiletics. Barbara Arce also was one that had a deep biblical faith, and a faith that comes out of the experience of growing up in the family that she had, and it's just an amazing time. One of my favorite stories is that Barbara was preaching at Church of the Advocate in Philadelphia, and sermon, I think it's the hymn before the sermon, for some reason she didn't like the way it was going, and so she stopped everybody and made them sing it again, the choir and everybody. And as they finished that just before the sermon, Miss B, Barbara's mother, who was the fill-in organist at the time, said, "Well, Barbara, that was not fair because my choir did fine." And she said back to her mother, "Mom, it says not Beatrice Harris, priest in charge, it's Barbara Harris, priest in charge." They had an interesting relationship. One of the quotes that I thought I would share with you today is what our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, said when asked about Bishop Harris, about Barbara. "Bishop Harris was not large of physical stature, in fact, the opposite, but she was larger than life. She was larger than life because she lived it fully, and her God with us. She did it by actually living the love of God that Jesus taught us about. She did it walking the lonesome valley of leadership, paving a way for so many of us whose way have been blocked. She did it by lifting her voice for those who had no voice. She did it with a joke, a whispered word, a secret joy, a spirit, anything that got her on her way, including death. No wonder she titled her memoir, Hallelujah, Anyhow." The two of them were good friends and did some traveling and stuff together. And Michael Curry says one reason we have blacks and African Americans in the church today is because of Barbara. One of the examples, I think, of who Barbara is and how we were getting ready to do a service. Well, not actually do a service. It was her sister's service, burial, or funeral down in Philadelphia. And Tom Shaw and I were two of the pallbearers. The other four were 6'3" at least, big, looked like football players, black football players, that were children of her friends. And as we came around the corner of the church, getting ready to walk in with the casket into the church, all of a sudden, out of the side, we heard this voice, "You two white boys, pick that casket up. I don't want the ashes in Joy's lap to spill." And that was Barbara. She was out for her last smoke before she went in for the service. The other thing that I think is interesting to note, that regardless of what you knew or did or whatever with Barbara, she was truly with you. She was present with people. She didn't play games, and she often would encourage people to go beyond their comfort zone and to be more than they had prepared to be. She often, with Bishop Shaw, the two of them were great for each other. Tom Shaw, a monk, tended to be a little reserved, and Barbara was anything but reserved, and the two together would draw each other out. The final thing that I think is important to note, that her lifelong ministry of working for the poor and the lost and all of those was right up to the end. In her last years, I often was the one that would drive her to events or whatever. And she refused to do events for big fancy churches, but mainly for dioceses and churches that were small, that would have a hard time finding people to come to them. But the last big thing I drove her to was the November, I guess it was a year ago, a year before she died. It was the 30th anniversary of her ordination almost, but the Diocese of Connecticut wanted her to be the speaker for the convention. Well, she wasn't feeling as strong as she used to, so she told Ian, Bishop Douglas, that she would go and have a seat and would not be in the procession. But when she got up, I walked her to the pulpit area. It was in a big convention center. And when she got up to speak, she delivered a masterful presentation on reaching out to the poor, the lost, and the left out. One that actually was printed in the Diocesan Journal. It was an outstanding address, really. And she did it with energy and with all kinds of, with some humor, but she did it in a way that people could hear. Although when we went home that day, she was exhausted. She had given it her all. I do think the collect for today that Chris read was, and that we all read with him, sums up an awful lot about Barbara. Everlast, living God, in every generation you cause fresh winds to renew, refresh, refine your people. And in your word, summon us to live courageously as Easter people in an often Good Friday world. Defend us in our own day to make no peace with oppression, that boldly following the examples of your servant, Barbara Clementine Harris, chosen bishop in your church, we may strive not for ease or fame, but gladly toil and walk with you all along our pilgrim journey through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.